All right, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're going to be doing the last in a series of dealing with self, and this is part 11. And tomorrow there's another series coming up, so be sure to listen in for that. It's dealing with the natural man, our natural constitution, which is the old man, our old man. All right? But right now this is chapter, or this part 11, rather, of dealing with self. Okay, go ahead, Sharon.
Among professing Christians, and even people who really are Christians, there are very few who deal with self and opinion. In regard to dealing with flesh and dealing with temper, all who have pursuit in spiritual things have had some experience. However, very few brothers or sisters are aware that self needs to be dealt with. This is because we do not know the meaning of self, nor do we know that opinion is the expression of self, the embodiment of self. But the biggest reason is that we think our opinions are good and lovable, not knowing that self is hidden within them. I've mentioned at several times that in Matthew chapter 16, the opinion of Peter was to most people commendable in showing his love for the Lord. But he did not know that self and Satan as well were hidden within his opinion.
It's just like myself. For years, it was my opinion that I shouldn't ask for finances from people because I didn't want to be included with the rip-off artists that are preaching false doctrine and asking for finances. And so these messages that I've been bringing have got to me now, and the Lord moved on me and said, what about you? You have to preach my word, okay? Don't worry about yourself or if people connect you with those phonies or the people that are hitting for finances and they're buying diamond mines and all these other things, or they're just spending out on aircraft and things like that. You preach the word. The word says that they have to tithe, that people must tithe if they want to be blessed. And you're robbing them of me, robbing me, the church, and also you're robbing people from their blessings by not telling them that they must tithe. And so, thank God he broke me of that. I will not be ashamed to ask for tithes any longer. This is going on 41 years in the ministry. I'm about 40 and a half years into the ministry, and this is the first time. And the Lord said, it's in my word, and you better preach it. You better teach it. Because you've come into your desire to evangelize the entire world, your appetite to win souls, is stronger than your pocketbook, and you need help. All right? So now get out there and start telling them. If people want to think you're a phony, let them. But you, I know you're not, so you just go ahead and do it. If you don't do it, then you will be a phony, right? And I'm doing what the Lord says. All right, go ahead.
Only those who have been enlightened by the Lord know that man's opinion is the enemy of God's will, as well as the opponent of the cross, in other words, the Holy Spirit. Whenever we care for man's opinion, we will surely neglect the will of God.
Right, that's what I was doing, is caring for. I didn't want people to think we're rip-off artists, and we were just out there working as hard as we could, bringing the money in, and putting the money out, and bringing the money in, and bringing the money out, never asking for a penny. And as I said before, we're not asking people that are broke and that we're supporting overseas, you know, where they don't have anything. But they are distributing the literature. We're not asking for money from those that can't afford it. But we're asking for the people in the United States and elsewhere that have money, that have finances, that have buildings that we can use or sell or whatever to get finances. Now we're asking for it. Okay? it's my opinion that I shouldn't have done that, but it's, the Lord got me with this message myself. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now we're preaching the full gospel. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Whenever we mind the things of men, we cannot mind the things of God. Whenever our opinion comes to fruition, our self grows. Opinion is the fertile soil, and self is planted therein. He who has the most opinions has the most gross self. Therefore, when we are together with young brothers or sisters, we need to grasp this principle and not permit their opinions to have any place at all in the congregation or anywhere, if they want to serve the Lord. To give place to their opinion means to give their self the fertile soil to grow. To give place to their opinion means to give their self fertile soil to grow. And that is what you do not want, is to want more of self. You want more of the Lord. When we become spiritually able, strong enough to see the horrible awfulness of self, and are willing to learn the lesson of dealing with self in our daily living, we must beware of one thing, of ever making the way of magnanimity, which is exactly contrary to the goal of dealing with self.
Yes, I just did the message on magnanimity yesterday, on the magnanimous ones, the ones that cannot give up self. They cannot, and they will not. It's like the Scotch people, they say, they cannot and they will not give up self. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Unfortunately, most people are not clear with regard to this point of the truth, and they unconsciously fall into the error of being magnanimous. While we are with others, we sometimes have our opinion. Yet for the sake of not striving with others, we refrain from expressing our opinion. In a similar way, in our homes, we often are confronted with many situations which are incompatible with our opinion. We feel that it is useless for us to say anything, so we simply swallow our opinion and refrain. What we do is we remain silent. In many churches and homes today, there are many such situations. According to man, this condition is much better than that of quarreling. However, according to life, this state is much more difficult to deal with than that of quarreling. Quarreling exposes the corruption of man. Thus, while man is enlightened by the Holy Spirit, he will fall before God and repent. But it is difficult for those magnanimous people who never quarrel to be enlightened. It is hard for the Holy Spirit to touch them or shine upon them. Those who are always swallowing their opinions are those who always seek the Lord's light for others instead of themselves. Actually, they themselves need the light the most. Though a magnanimous person withdraws his opinion when it is rejected by others, yet he considers himself most right and praises his own opinion most highly. He continually lives in the self, not knowing that self is the greatest enemy of God. Therefore, magnanimity does not cause us to be broken, but on the contrary, it causes ourself to grow and become tough, hardened. This is not so with the matter of dealing with self. Dealing with self, we must see that as long as we live and grow in ourselves, Christ will have no way to live or grow in us and through us. Since we live in our opinions, we must condemn it by putting it to death, that is, putting ourself to death. People who have opinions should tell people, quote, "This is my opinion. Do you think that it matches up with the Bible? Is there anything in the Bible that says that my opinion is correct, or is it wrong? If it is, I don't want to go to hell. Tell me. Unquote. Then you are opening yourself up for guidance. This is the work of the cross, the Holy Spirit. But the people who are magnanimous never ask questions. Therefore, they are never aware of what other people think about their opinions. They don't care about letting anyone know what their opinions are. They'd rather, as I've said before, have their head cut off than to get rid of self. Putting ourself to death is the main thing. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, the cross, which issues in Christ being increased in us. We are not taking the way of magnanimity, rather we are taking the way of putting to death the self, thereby letting Christ have a place to grow and be formed in us. Concerning the application of the experience of the cross or the Holy Spirit, we must realize that all dealing with the flesh and self is continuous and not once for all.
If you dealt with yourself today, you're still going to have to deal with yourself this afternoon. And you're still going to have to deal with yourself tonight and before you go to sleep. And then you still have to do it in the morning and tomorrow afternoon if you live that long. And then the evening, it's a continuous thing. It's not a one-time thing. Then what?
We have to deal with the cross and with ourself through the cross and our opinions and ideas all day long. Dealing with the flesh and self, again, is a continuous situation and not a situation that happens once and for all. All the objective facts in Christ are accomplished once for all, and not all the subjective experiences in the Holy Spirit are continuous. Our opinions cannot be crucified all at once. Neither can we deal with the flesh all at once. The farmer weeds the field today. The weeds are removed, but tomorrow they will grow back again, and he must remove them again and again. He can never exert one supreme effort to gain eternal ease. Likewise, today, we are still in the old creation, and the old man cannot refrain from expressing himself in a multitude of ways, in various aspects. Therefore, when we apply the dealing of the cross, in other words, the Holy Spirit, through fellowship in the Holy Spirit, one application is not enough for today, tomorrow, the next day, and so on. We must apply it morning, noon, and night. When these subjective experiences become mature and deep, we may be able to apply a last, thorough crucifixion and severe dealing to a certain expression of the old man.
Like, for instance, if a filthy thought comes to you, you have to baptize it with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because the Holy Spirit kills every thought. And the more, our brain is like a computer. The more you put into it, whatever you put in there is the way that you, it's going to control your body eventually. Because the thoughts grow in your mind. They grow down into your spirit, your soul, and your body starts following suit. You live in a sinful environment long enough, you start taking on that sinfulness. If you keep planting the Word of God into your mind, your mind and your spirit and your whole being takes on the Holy Spirit. And therefore your body starts doing the things that the Holy Spirit leads, guides, is whatever you're planting in your brain. It tells you what to do. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to, you have to take, it's your responsibility to put the right thing in your mind. Because whatever goes into the mind, and Satan's going to try to use it for a suggestion box, and when he does, you have to pull down the strongholds of these ideas and opinions that he places in there, and with the Holy Spirit, you have to deal with those thoughts with the cross. Amen?
Yeah.
Because your mind is where everything starts. When it's being sown into your mind, it's going to grow roots, and it's going to go. It's going to cause your body eventually to sin if you're listening to the wrong things or looking or thinking of the wrong things. So you, a man is who they think they are. Okay, if you think reprobate thoughts, if you somebody tells you that you're, it's like the devil plants the situation, say you're a prostitute, and you just say, I am. No, you can't say that. You have to immediately say, I'm washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, and the blood of Jesus against you, and I pull down and then get into the Word and start saying, God, wash me in His blood. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of the Most High God, and I'm not going to receive this. And start reading the Word of God. It just shows that maybe if you're getting these thoughts, or the devil's trying to get you to blaspheme, sending these thoughts into your mind, that just means you need to read more. Because the Word of God is spirit, and it's life, and it's power. And the Spirit is the power, and it'll give you the power over your mind. And the Word of God is Christ, and Christ said, put on His mind, which means the Word, which is spirit and life, and that's where it all starts. And so you can't, if everything that is in your spirit and in your body starts in your mind, well, that's the place where to put everything. Amen?
Amen.
So all, if you put something wrong in there, it's just hurting yourself. It's cutting you off. If you entertain any evil thoughts, you need to do what the Lord says. Pull it down. Amen?
Amen.
Baptize it with the Holy Spirit. See, come against it with the cross. Hit it with the cross. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit. The Word. Okay, then what?
When these subjective experiences become mature and deep, we may be able to apply a last thorough crucifixion and severe dealing to a certain expression of the old man, bringing it to an end. However, in the initial stage of our experience, we must apply the dealing time after time, and we have to walk in the Spirit no matter how mature we are, morning, noon, and night. Therefore, when speaking of this...
The devil didn't leave the Apostle Paul or Jesus alone until he gave up the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Once you're dead, you don't have to worry about that anymore. You can lay your armor down. Amen?
Amen.
Even though you're never dead, but you're now in the spiritual realm completely. This shell that you live in, which is called the body, is no longer going to be. You look into a casket, that isn't the real person there, that's the shell. The spirit, the real part, the eternal, everlasting part of that person is gone to wherever it's going. It's in eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. And then hell eventually be cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says. And so we need to feed our brain the right food. We can't let it have junk food. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you eat junk food in your brain, you are going to be junk. Amen?
Amen.
Junk to be burned. All right, go ahead.
Therefore, when speaking of the subjective dealing, the Lord said that we need to bear the cross, meaning that we cannot depart from the cross. While in a service at the church, certain brothers or sisters may have an opinion, but he condemns it and withholds himself from speaking.
Yeah, if you're in the pulpit and you say, I know what I want to say, but I'm not going to do it because there may be some condemnation from the brothers and sisters, or worse than that, from the Lord. Then after you get out of the pulpit, you start espousing all your own ideas and opinions to other brothers and sisters around. Go ahead, read.
But after the meeting in privacy, he speaks forth. This is not the bearing of the cross. It is not that you bear the cross when you have an opinion during the meeting, and then after the meeting, you throw off the cross. You get out of the Spirit. You should always be crucified on the cross. And always bear the cross. In other
words, the meeting never ends. All right?
Amen.
You're having a continuous meeting with the Lord. That's why he says, pray always. Amen?
Amen.
And pray without ceasing, Paul said, right?
Right.
Because we need to be dealt with all the time by the Spirit, the cross. Okay, what else?
In other words, you should always be crucified by the Holy Spirit and always bear the cross.
Which means the same thing. And what?
The meaning of bearing the cross is not to depart from the cross. Throughout the generations,
right, all... If you're carrying the cross, you're carrying it, all right? There's no, it doesn't say for you to let it down at any time, does it?
No.
Does the Lord say that?
No.
He says, take up the cross, but nowhere in his word does he say, okay, you can lay it down for a while. Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. And he carried the cross all the way to Golgotha, and then he got nailed to the cross there. And we are slain with him on the cross at Golgotha, and now we carry the cross until our bodies, this shell that we're living in, is over with, and we don't have to worry about it then. Amen?
Amen.
So in eternity, there will, in our eternity, in the kingdom of heaven, there'll be no devil to tempt us there any longer. There'll be no satanic government. Everything is free of charge. Amen? We've earned it. We're now part of the Lord, and the Lord owns everything. Okay, then what?
Throughout the generations, all those who have experienced the cross, such as any Christian that you've ever seen before, and you've heard that they're great Christians, have agreed that one who bears the cross cannot be separated from the cross. A person who bears the cross is a person with the cross. He is inseparable from the cross, like the Apostle Paul.
You don't step down from it when you're in the on the platform in the church and then take it off. In other words, amen, like we see everybody doing so much, right?
Amen.
A whole different person. Oh, how holy on the platform and in the church service. And then when it's over, it's riot. Okay, then what?
When he sees the fact of the putting to death through the cross, he receives it. He receives the mark of death as a seal upon himself. And thereafter, he continually applies the fact of death to his practical daily living. This is called the bearing of the cross. Therefore, the acceptance of the death of the cross is not a one-time thing, one time for all, but it is a daily, continuous, all-day-long bearing of the cross, walking in the Holy Spirit. When the Lord touched upon the matter of dealing with self, he spoke about the bearing of the cross and not the crucifixion. There are two meanings of crucifixion.
Right, when you're being crucified, that's one-time deal. But after that, there's the bearing of the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus carried the cross. That was every day, all day long, morning, afternoon, and night. And then he was crucified. Carrying the cross and being crucified is two different things. Amen?
Amen.
Crucifixion just takes a minute or two, or 6 hours or whatever it was. And after, but before that, it was 33 and a half years. Amen?
Amen.
And you get crucified once, and if you happen to live another 40 years or 45 or 50, 60, 70 years, you have to stay crucified. You have to carry the cross that long. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's a long haul. Eternity's a longer haul. Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Make up your mind. You count the cost. See what you want to do. Amen?
Amen.
See if you're going to obey the Lord. And it's not for his sake. It's for yours. Okay? You're the one that's going to pay the price if you don't. And you're the one that's going to get the great prize the Grand Prix if you do. Amen?
Amen.
The great prize. Okay, then, so, you know, these people that say once saved, always saved, just a one-time deal. According to the message of the Bible and my message here, that isn't true, is it? Okay, then what? Paul said, I'm constantly bearing about the death of the cross, amen, of the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Constantly. And he preaches that we must do as the Lord said. Follow me. Okay, then what?
There are two meanings of crucifixion. One is to be nailed to the cross. The other is actually for you to be put to an end. Many think that once we accept the cross, our self is terminated, and there's no further need to bear the cross. However, the Lord spoke of our need of bearing the cross, thus showing us that our self is not brought to an end simply by the acceptance of the knowledge or the truth of the cross.
And just because you know what you have to do, that doesn't put an end to you. You have to do it. Amen?
Amen.
When Jesus was crucified, he also was brought to an end. He died. That was the end of him. Amen?
Amen.
And 3.5 days later, he rose from the dead, right?
Right.
And then that was not the end to him. He lives forever. And if the same spirit that crucifies you, yourself, your flesh, your temper, your constitution, and all the other aspects of the flesh, the same spirit is in you that has done all that, as it was in Christ, then you also shall be raised from the dead on the last day and ushered and spirited immediately into the great kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
You just don't hear these messages on TV, do you? Or on the radio?
No.
Or in your local churches? No. Okay, then what?
We must still bear the cross. Just because we know the truth of the cross doesn't mean that we can just let it lie and not bear the cross and not be separated from it. When we receive the fact of our being crucified, that is crucifixion, when we receive that we are. But when we go on to experience the crucifixion, that is bearing the cross. When the Lord was a man on this earth, he first bore the cross. He bore it until one day he went to Golgotha and was nailed upon the cross. This is called the crucifixion. When the Lord was crucified on the cross,
when he was carrying the cross and then that Simon helped him carry the cross, he was just carrying the cross, amen? He wasn't crucified yet, right?
Amen.
But you're crucified with Christ. The old man was crucified there, and now you're bearing the cross, amen? It's just the reverse. He bore the cross, then it was crucified. Now we got crucified, or we couldn't be resurrected spiritually, enough to be able to have the power of the Spirit of God in us to be able to carry, bear the cross. So we bear the cross until we give up the ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Now God is not a ghost, but we have ghosts. Amen?
Amen.
God is spirit. Then what else?
When the Lord was crucified on the cross, he died and was brought to an end. When he died, he was separated from the cross. So also are we. As a matter of fact, the Lord has...
When we die. When we die, we're not bearing the cross anymore. Amen?
Amen.
We lay that burden down. But we're crucified already. I mean, if you're crucified with Christ, if your old man is crucified with him. Okay, then what?
The Lord has...
Read that again.
Okay. As a matter of fact, the Lord has crucified us with him on the cross.
That's a done deal. I mean, if you're really born of the Spirit, amen? Then what?
The Lord has crucified us with him on the cross because he represented us there. That was us. We are the ones that should have been there, so we have to accept our crucifixion. But experientially, we have not died yet. Therefore, we need to bear the cross continually. We're still alive.
Yeah, until the day, so we can't. In other words, it's like we're going to have to be dead like Christ. We have to die, our bodies have to die like his did, before we can be separated from bearing the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Are you still alive? Huh? Even though you're dead with Christ on the cross, your body is still walking around. Amen?
Amen.
And so you have to bear the cross and like Jesus did until he was dead. So you're not dead yet, even though your old self, the way the life you lived before is dead, it's over with. You're not living according to the lusts of the world any longer, or your will, or your own ideas or opinions, or your own will, but you're living according to the will of the Lord, which means you're bearing the cross still. Right?
Right.
Like Jesus did. He bore it until he was dead. And so you have to do the same thing too. Now, he was dead to the world. I mean, as far as his spirit was just 100% with the Father. But he still was alive until he was 33 and a half years old. Amen?
Amen.
Then he died and he was separated from the cross. But we're not separated from the cross until we're dead. Until the day we die. You understand?
Yes.
So don't think you can lay it down when you get off the from behind the pulpit and start being your old self to your friends and the visitors that are at the church. Or, you know, change your personality and the character, and don't let the character of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord leave you while you're out mingling among the unsaved. When they want to see Christ in you. Okay, so you're bearing the cross if you want to be a Christian to the end. You never lay it down. In other words, you're watching what you're doing and what you're saying. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We're still walking around on earth. When Jesus died, he died. So we have to bear about the death of Christ all the time because our body is still alive.
Right, so we have to, you know, be crucified with him. Constantly bearing about the death of Christ in our bodies. Why? Because the Lord doesn't want you to say you're a Christian if you are yourself or your flesh anymore. He wants to live by the Spirit in you, that which entails, which is the same thing as you bearing the cross. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then what?
We need to bear the cross continually until we are dead or taken up after the tribulation and transfigured, at which time we can be separated from the cross after we're dead.
Yeah, we will be separated from the cross then. Because our bodies, we don't have to keep our flesh under, because we won't be in the flesh anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, and so therefore there's no need for a cross there. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, because Satan dwells in the flesh, the old man, and the Spirit of the Lord dwells in us, we have to keep the Spirit of the Lord more powerful than Satan in the flesh, so that the flesh, or Satan in the flesh, doesn't rise up anymore, because people will see it the instant that it happens. Okay, then what?
In reality, however, spiritually a Christian, no matter how spiritual you may be, you cannot for one moment depart from the cross. You have
not until you're dead. And then what?
You have to stay there until you're dead. Whenever a Christian departs from the cross, he is living in his flesh and by his self without Christ. When through the Holy Spirit we apply the cross so that we have the mark of the cross upon us continually, this is called bearing the cross. Therefore, dealing with self is a lifelong lesson. During our entire life, we must apply the death of the cross to ourself and be one who denies self and bears the cross.
Praise the Lord. I pray that you understood that message. It's quite simple once you get it in your spirit, amen, in your mind. Keep it in your mind. Keep concentrating on that, because that's what you want to feed your mind, is the Word of God all the time. And so until the next series, concentrate on that, meditate on it. That's what the Bible means by meditating, is concentrating on who you are. Don't walk away from these messages and then forget what manner of man or person you are, because you cannot take the cross down. The Lord evidently feels that you're ready for these messages now. Some of you have been hearing portions of these type messages for 30 years, 5, 10, 20, 30 years, over 30 years. And now the Lord feels that you're capable of receiving it and being a witness for the Lord. In other words, letting the Lord witness for himself within you. Because it's no longer yourself, no longer your flesh. Amen? And so tomorrow, till tomorrow, where I do the first in a series of the dealing with man's, the constitution, or your makeup, what you're made out of. Or is still part of the flesh, and until chapter 8 of 2 Samuel, remember, meditate, pray always, pray without cease, pray always, and don't let anything enter into your mind that could contaminate your entire being. Meantime, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor. Praise the Lord, and God bless you real good.